Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I'm going back into my teaching that I was in a series that the Lord spoke to me about. There's things that He'll show me to teach, but He really did in a very sort of a supernatural way, spoke to me concerning what I started to teach. And there was a scripture He quoted to me from, it was from the King James Version of the Bible, and it was from 3 John, and it's the second verse. John is only one chapter. It was from the second verse. And these words came to me. It said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And this letter that John wrote was to a brother in the Lord whose name was Gaius, and he commended him because he walked in the truth. And because he walked in the truth, John said to him, and John said it, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, that above everything, he wanted him to prosper and be in health, even as his soul prospers. And when we talk about the soul prospering, we need to understand, man is a triune being. We're spirit, soul, and body. And he said the soul of man, and the soul of man deals with your mind, will, and emotions. In other words, one of the big things is dealing with your mind. Understand this, if God cannot renew a person's mind or renew the way he thinks, God's going to have a very hard time of doing anything through that individual, and it's going to be very hard for the individual really to cooperate with God. We need to understand, if God cannot get a hold of a person's mind and change it, and that's the whole point of the Word of God, is to change people's mind. Well, the Lord said to me, He said, I want you to title the message, He said, above all things. And so this is what we've endeavored. I can't go back over all the teachings we did before. They're online on our site, and you can download them free and listen to them. But we're looking at some things this morning the Lord spoke to me to begin to go over into, just as a confirmation of things. The Lord had been moving me over in this area, to go over and to begin to teach on the subject of faith in it, tied to prospering and into healing. And I've taught, it hasn't been long back, I taught a series on faith. We did one with our Wednesday evening, and I teach quite often in that, but I really had a confirmation going down to these meetings here, and Brother Randy said the Lord told him to tell us that he wants the subject of faith taught a whole lot more, because he said many people are not getting it. He said many people have a knowledge about what the Word says about it, but they don't have revelation of it. And understand this, it's about revelation, what is revealed by God. So you can have knowledge of things. Do you remember, I don't know if you remember back at Randall Greer, actually it was in 2006, the Lord spoke to him and told him that in these last days there's going to be two types of churches that rise up. There's going to be the informational church and the revelational church. He said the informational church will be a church that runs off of man's thoughts and ideas of what the Word of God says. It's going to run off of man's ideas of God. Well, we've always had some of that, but we're seeing a much greater division. And I'm just not knocking people, but there's many. The large churches in America are nothing but informational churches. That's all they are. It's not revelational. It doesn't change people's lives. The people that go to them stay the same as they always were. There's one thing, as I learn about God, I came to Jesus Christ back in 1980 and it changed my life. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. I don't know about a Christianity that people come along to and they aren't changed. I've never experienced that. The Bible tells us to be born again, and it tells you to get born again, you become a new creation. You're not the same person you were. And surely I definitely wasn't the same person I was. When I accepted Jesus Christ, man, things changed. And I've watched over the years, I've watched people who have accepted Christ and changed. And I've watched people who said they did, there was no change to their life, they're just the same person. All they're doing is trying to cooperate with the religious ideas and things. But their lives don't change. They go on to live the same old way they thought before and think before and do the things that they did before. And we're not going there. The Bible tells us that God, Jesus Christ, one of the things He did was He set men free. But we need to understand, freedom in the Bible is not freedom to vote, freedom for your ideas or your principles. That's not what He did. It was freedom from sin. Christianity in America has promoted sin. It has promoted, because God is graceful, gracious, and He loves you, that He don't, you know, He isn't, you know, you can sin and He just sort of overlooks it. No, He don't. There's nowhere in Scripture, the New Testament tells us specifically that sin will be judged even among the saints. Sin will be judged. We need to understand these things. I mean, we have a lot of people say things, but there's so much the Bible is not taught. You know, we have the pick and choose Christianity. The Scriptures tell us in the New Testament, it said that there's going to be in the end times that people are going to draw teachers to themselves. And there's many churches in America where the people only want to hear certain things. Don't talk to me. Don't correct me. Don't tell me I'm doing wrong. Don't say none of that. Don't preach things. Don't talk about hell like it ain't there. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's there. There's a hell, and there's people in it today. And there's people in it when Jesus comes, and after the judgment, there's going to be loads of people there, and they're all going to be put in the lake of fire. The Bible says so. It's going to happen. Now, maybe we don't want to hear those things, and people don't want to hear them. Nonetheless, it's true. It's truth. And we need to, you know, if it's not preached, you know, nobody, you know, if God just loves everybody, He's going to take care of everything, you know, it's just like, I heard a minister say a thing about, you know, we're all, you know, God's children, everybody, like in the earth. Well, the Bible don't teach that. I mean, Jesus Christ Himself said to some Pharisees He was talking to, He said, your father's the devil. Jesus said that. Everybody doesn't belong to God. Those who belong to God, who is the ones who have accepted Jesus Christ, they belong to God. The rest of them don't. They aren't God's children. I don't, you know, there's so much false gospel preached. And we need to understand this. If it's false gospel preached, then there's not really faith in God to those who believe the false. They don't have faith in God. They have faith in their ideas of God. But that's not really faith in God. We need to understand faith, the Bible tells us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we're talking about the subject of faith, we talk about faith in God's word, not faith in just what I believe. If what my believing is not in line with God's word, then that's not what the Scripture's talking about. It's not talking about something that just, you know, what people believe. People believe all kinds of stuff. People believe all kinds of things. It really amazes me sometimes. And I listen to, you know, sometimes I'll listen. I'm driving around, listen to radio. I'll have a minister on the radio in the car. Guys, spirit-filled ministers. And sometimes they say things and I think, what do they believe really? You know, because they'll say things that are really off the wall. And you think, if you have a foundation in belief like that, you're going to have a lot of messed up stuff that you're believing in. We want to make sure, we want to stay as accurate to Scripture as we can. Because that's what faith in God is. You know, if you're going to have faith in God, it's having faith in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So understand that. We're talking about faith in God's Word. Now, I want to read to you because of what Randall Greer, a word of the Lord that he got, and I have it in the thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the part that is in your bulletin. And it starts down, and where it starts off, it says in the third paragraph, it says in 2017, it says in 2017 is the year to be extreme. A time to move forward in faith in running your race. Talking about an extreme, I'll tell you, just to follow God a little bit would be extreme today. But he said to be extreme in your race. He said, forward in faith in running your race. No longer say you're waiting on God. Arise in faith, and Satan under your feet you shall trod. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Rebuke fear and go forward in faith, and take the place the Lord has already provided for you in your race. And other words, he's telling me, he taught me the year of extreme. And what's this about? It's walking in your faith. The church has walked generally in a very, very low level of faith. When we talk many times about the things of faith, we need to understand that most people around us, and I'm talking about Christian people, I'm not talking about outside in the world. When most Christians talk about faith and talk about having faith, what they're talking about is the faith that they had to be born again. That's what they're talking about. And thank God that's good. See, we believe the Word and the Word of God, and we had to act on the Word of God, of what the Word said. We had to confess Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead. It said you would be saved. You know, you get saved through confession. You don't get saved just through believing. I don't care what you believe. If you haven't said it, it don't come to pass. We're going to look at Scripture. We'll look at Scripture. Doesn't matter. We get born again because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we made a confession of faith. Faith is released through speech. There's no, you know, believing in itself is only part of faith. It's not the whole thing. See, today they teach, well, I believe something. Well, the Bible says that the devil believes. Well, is the devil saved? No. See, you could believe something, you could believe in something, and it absolutely produces nothing in your life. You could believe it's true. And it doesn't produce anything in your life. And so it's important. You know, I may have faith to get born again, but that doesn't mean I have faith in God for anything else. I might not be able to trust Him with anything else. Well, good to get saved, but we need to understand, if we don't understand the principle of faith, you know, as I've told you, we had a neighbor lady who had died of cancer, and I was talking to her about healing and tried to sort of get her over on the track to talking about trusting God. And, you know, she talked about faith, but her faith was only based on the fact that she was born again. And she was born again, a child of God. She believed Jesus was Lord. Thank God she's in heaven. But she had no faith to trust God in healing. And the reason she didn't, because she believed God made her sick for a reason. So I asked her what the reason was, and she didn't know. Now think about this. If God's trying to teach me something that I don't know it is, that makes Him a pretty lousy teacher. If you went and spent money and paid for a course to go to school, and you went and you sat there the whole time and you couldn't figure out what they were doing, would you keep spending your money to go there and listen? I mean, no. Now, you know, this is one thing. See, as ignorance is taught, you know, that God's mysterious. Well, if God's mysterious, I can't have faith in what I don't know. You can't have faith where you don't have knowledge. You must have knowledge to have faith. If the Word didn't tell you that if whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved, if it didn't say that, you'd have no guarantee of salvation. You couldn't guarantee you'd be saved. If it just said, call on the name of the Lord and maybe He'll save you or maybe He won't. Well, see, this is ideas. Well, we're going to pray and see if whatever God wants, and we're going to find out that faith don't operate in that manner. The Bible tells us in the New Testament the Holy Spirit was given to us to the purpose of teaching us and instructing us, taking what belongs to Jesus and revealing it to us. If any group should be this, the most intellectual and smart group in this world should be the church. The church should never be ignorant of God and should never be walking around saying, well, you just don't know what God wants to do. That's ignorance going to seed, folks. We're supposed to know what God's doing. That's the plan of God. God gave us a book so we'd know what He's doing. He gave us a thing so we'd know what He's like so we could understand Him. That's why He did it. And so you would know what He would do. And you know, the most wonderful thing is I've found out over the years, the more I've learned about God, I can tell you exactly what God will do in certain situations. I know what He'll do because I have followed the course over the years and I've studied it and I found out God acts and does this. And boy, I'll tell you what, you can find out and know what God's going to do in circumstances. Exactly the kind of things He'll do. You can know. And so you want to do that if you want to live a life of faith. And this is why, if God is saying to us, above all things, I want you to prosper and be in health. That's a wonderful thing, but we need to understand this about it. Because He has said it, that don't mean it's going to happen. He said that He's willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Well, is everybody saved? Everybody you know just wants God and following God. No, they're not. It's God's will. He wants them to. But we need to understand this. Even though God may want me to prosper and be in health, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. I have a part in it. And my faith has a part. The Bible says this in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible. In other words, it is not possible to please God without operating in faith. Now, faith isn't some complicated, hard thing. It's mystical in the church. Oh, they think faith is some mystical thing. Oh, yes, you know. And they turn around and we have all kind of terminology. You know, you ask people, you say, what is faith? Oh, that's believing and that's trust. Well, how do I believe and trust? See, we just take one word and throw it on another word, but it doesn't get anybody anywhere because people don't, how do I trust God? Well, I just believe in it. Believe what? We need to understand this. Faith, the Bible talks about faith that can be seen. It says Jesus saw their faith. Oh. Faith has actions to it, the Bible teaches us. It has actions. Faith is not some hidden thing. I've learned over the years, I know when Ed's in faith or when he's not. For those new here, my name's Ed. I know when I'm in faith and when I'm not. If you're wondering whether you're in faith or not, I'll just tell you this, you're not. If you're wondering, you're not. The children of Israel, God said they couldn't enter into rest. Faith, it was talking about faith. Faith is rest. That's how you know that you're in faith. You're at rest. If you're not at rest, you ain't arrived at faith yet. You haven't arisen there. He said in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the 2nd verse, he said the children of Israel, they didn't enter into this rest for this reason. They didn't mix faith with the words that they heard. They didn't mix faith with it. Well, we're going to talk about what faith is and how you mix it, what you do. We want to talk about that. We want to look at these things because if God says He wants you to prosper and be in health, you're going to have to take a hold of it by faith. You're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to take it for yourself. And the Scripture tells us how to do it and how to respond to God's promise by faith. It doesn't matter. Just like this, the promise of salvation is of no value to a person till they take it by faith. If they don't take it by faith, then it is of no value. It produces nothing in their life. There are literally people today who left this earth and went to hell, are literally in hell, and they believed Jesus was Lord, but they never responded to Him by faith. They never responded to Him. They believed it. You can believe Jesus is the Lord. I was born and raised around church stuff. I believed that Jesus was Lord. I believe He really existed. And I lived for 30 years. I'd have died and went to hell believing Jesus is the Lord, but I never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'd never done that. I never did it. If I'd have died, I'd have been lost. I've witnessed to people already who told me they believe those things, but I said, talk to them about accepting Christ, and they didn't want to. No, I like living the life I'm living. I don't want to do that. They didn't want to do it. Yet they believed. So just because you believe something, that's no sign of faith. That's not a sign. Just because you know that something's true, you know, I was a drug user, and I knew drugs weren't good to me, but I liked the fun part of them. And you know what? I'd take them, and I believed they wouldn't be any good for me, but I took them anyhow. Don't think people don't know that things do. If nobody knew right or wrong, God couldn't righteously judge anybody. People know they're doing wrong. Don't ever get that. Well, they just don't know. Oh, get a life. Dear God. I knew I was a sinner. Dear Lord, give me a break. I never thought I was a good person when I was lost. Dear Lord. Oh, my words. We big these little air castles around us and stuff. Things. But God's intent is for us to step out in an area of faith. God wants us to walk by faith. Now, I want to go over some very familiar scriptures to us here who come here all the time. If you've been here, you've heard these taught. But I want you to go over to Mark 11, 23 and 24. God doesn't want you to just have knowledge of what these scriptures say. It's great if you can quote them, and that's really nice. I can quote them, but that's not enough. He wants you to have a revelation on them. And the reason why he wants you to have a revelation on them is because you will only begin to operate in what is revealed to you that you have a revealed knowledge of. Just because you have information of something don't mean you're going to respond to it. That doesn't mean. You need a revelation on it. And a revelation is this, is when something becomes real and true to you. And there's one thing, you get something in you and it becomes real and true, and it's like all of a sudden, wow, we're going to do it. It's number one, anyone who the revelation of faith in God and in His Word will get into a person, they will start to do extreme things because they will be extreme to rest of society and what rest of society does. I'll never forget when I started off as a Christian and I started getting revelation in this area. I got around Christians. God told me and sent me to a church to some people, and they thought I was really extreme. I wasn't being really extreme. I was just doing what the Bible said. They didn't. Yet they were all born again. They were nice people, good people. But they thought I was a little bit out there somewhere. And they didn't understand. All I was doing what the Bible said. But they didn't have a revelation on the Bible. And they were talking about faith and trust in God. But they didn't do the thing. And I was wondering, because I was a young Christian, I think, what's wrong with these people? I used to think, why don't they get out here into this stuff? But they were always afraid. You always got to be cautious. You always, well, now you got to watch it. You might get out there too far. Well, I'm sorry, 99.9 Christians never went too far. They never went far enough. Never went too far. And when we talk about the areas of faith, now in Mark 11, 23, I want you to get a hold of this fact. These words that we're looking at here, Jesus Christ said these words Himself. Jesus Christ did. So, I know people will come along and they make excuses and they say, well, He didn't really mean this and He didn't really mean it. Well, if He didn't mean it, He should have added to the Scripture so we'd have known it. And since He didn't, if He didn't and He didn't mean it, that would make Him a liar. And I do not believe Jesus lied. And we need to understand, Jesus spoke these words. I've learned a long time ago in Christianity, if Jesus said something, I do not accept another opinion on it. I don't accept another opinion. Oh, people can give their opinion, but my ears ain't paying no attention. When Jesus said it, that's it. Listen to this. John told us that Jesus, if you go over and read the Gospel of John, John opens and tells us Jesus was the Word of God. He was the Word of God manifest. God came in the flesh. John said so. He is the Word of God. And so the Word of God said to us and said these words. And are they true? Well, I'll tell you what, I sure believe they are. He says this, he starts off, and you've heard me say this before. He says, for assuredly I say to you. The word assuredly there, if you look it up in the Greek, that term, now I want you to understand this. This is Jesus Christ talking. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's your Savior. He's God who came in the flesh, died on the cross, raised from the dead. All authority in heaven and earth belong to Him. This is His words. He said, assuredly I say to you, that word assuredly would be just like if you went into a court of law and they said to you and made you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That would be saying the same. That's what this word means. He's saying assuredly. And this is a fact. This is what he's saying. This is a fact. This, I'm telling you a factual thing here. That's what this is. Now, so we got that. Wow, that's wonderful. So we're going to get something that's true, something that's a fact. And then he makes this saying. He goes, whoever. Now, who doesn't fit into the whoever? Is there anybody here today that don't fit into the whoever? Well, most of the church world don't believe they do. I've heard people say, well, he was talking to his disciples then. Well, they were the only thing. Why did he say to them whoever? Because that makes a false statement. Because it wouldn't be a whoever, would it? If it was just to them. He said, whoever. Well, I decided when I first got born again and I was read these things and listened to Kenneth Hagin teach on them, I decided a long time ago that was written to me because I'm a whoever. That's mine. You see, people who take this and say, well, it doesn't really belong to us, what they're saying is, I will not have faith in God in this area. I will not walk in this. I'm not going to. It belongs to somebody else. The New Testament says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All of them. All of them. All of them. If I'm in Christ Jesus, every promise belongs to me. Everything that's said that will benefit me belongs to me. See, I don't listen to people who tell me that it's not, that, you know, this was for them and this ain't for you. This good thing wasn't for you. You know, only bad stuff's for you. God wants to make you sick for a good reason. You know, God kills your kids because he needs another star in heaven. Dear Lord, what a sick puppy he is, huh? He needs a... God's lonely. God's lonely? Like ain't nobody around? You know, those are the words of people who don't know God. They're words of people who don't know God. And then they say, make up crazy sayings to try to satisfy themselves. I was a young child in a family who was, they were Christians. But I was born and raised in around church people, and they believed God was doing all the killing, God was the bad guy. I never understand. And I did ask them that. I said, why do you guys say you love him and everything bad that happens? You say you don't like the devil, but every bad thing that happens, you say God did it. And that there just confused me a little bit. I just said, why are we so worried about the devil? I would think we'd be concerned about God. He seems to be the bad guy. You know, he's the guy doing this stuff. He's every ugly thing that comes around. You know, he did it. If a storm hits, God did it for a purpose. Yep, God's killing them. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life. I was never so excited to read that when I got born again and found out that all that junk I was told as a kid was a lie. My Jesus is a good guy. He's the guy on the white horse with the white hat. And if you read the book of Revelation, he does show up on a white horse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my Jesus. That guy, don't lie, he's interested in blessing people. He's not the killer. Hallelujah. He wants to bless people. Well, people say, why am I not being blessed? Well, this is what we're talking about. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to talk to people and tell them because they don't know. And pulpits aren't speaking it. And, God's the problem. Well, we need to tell people God's not the problem. He's the answer. So that means me and I'm a whoever and you're a whoever. He says to this mountain, whoever does, now listen to them. He says to this mountain. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus is not talking about a figurative mountain. He just literally, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, he talked to a literal tree and it died. A literal tree, not a figurative tree. Nowhere in the context of this scripture says that any of this stuff is figurative. Nowhere in the context of it. This is all literal. So Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, he's speaking the mountain. Him and his disciples right at this time are standing on the Mount of Olives. He said, whoever says to this mountain, the one that they're standing on, listen to what Jesus said they're going to do. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, if you want to make that figurative, what do you make it figurative to? Jesus just spoke to a literal tree and it died. Now, I want you to understand this. We can go back. I want you to get a little bit of light on the subject about believing something in your heart and saying it. This is not just for the Christian. He said, whoever. You go back to the book of Genesis. And the reason God confounded the languages of the people at the Tower of Babel, because he said they were walking in agreement. He said, whatever they say, they'll bring it to pass. Whatever these folks say and do, they're going to bring it to pass. He confounded their language. He confounded speech. Why? It's because your speech is what's going to make things happen. Things are going to happen according to what you talk and say. I remember when I first got born again, Kenneth E. Hagin said, if you don't like the way your life is, he said, it's your problem. You created it. I thought, oh, my God. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Well, I didn't quit listening to him because he didn't make me happy when he said that. I thought, he knows more about this than I do, and I need to keep listening to find out what this is all about. But we found out here with Jesus, this principle stands true. Now, I want you to see this principle. It's for whoever. If he says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. And what does he say? He does not doubt in his heart. He didn't say if he doubts in his head, in his heart. Your heart's the human spirit. That's the part of you that got born again when you got saved. When you came to Jesus, the new creation was not you became a new person. I got born again and looked in the mirror and saw this same dude that was there before, was the next morning, was the same guy. I would have been nice if somebody else would have been there, I guess. It was just me again. But I want to tell you what. My wife said one of the reasons she came to Christ, I came home from work one night because I accepted Christ and she had. And I came home from one night from work and she told me she accepted Christ. And I asked her why. She said, when you first told me that you accepted Christ, I just thought you were going through one of your weird things that you go through. Because I went through a lot of weird stuff. I was weird. Anyhow, but she said, I started to watch you, and she said, I'm living with a different man. Now, I hadn't changed the way I looked. She still married the ugly guy. You know, it didn't matter. She just still got the same guy. But why? Because my heart was changed. What's in me changed. See, you got to have a changed heart. See, the scriptures tell us the Old Testament, God's plan was to take the old heart out of a person and put a new heart in him. That's what he wanted to do. And that's what he did through Jesus Christ. He took that old nature of sin. See, when these people say, your sins are forgiven, my sins aren't forgiven like they were in the Old Testament. God forgave my sin by removing the old sin nature, the old spirit, and gave me a new heart, gave me a new one. I wasn't forgiven because God said, okay, I'm not going to hold that against you. That's why this teaching, they say, well, you know, we're covered with the blood of Jesus, so God, you know, don't look on us. We ain't covered with the blood of Jesus because our sin's covered. Our sins are not covered. They were removed. They're gone. They don't exist anymore. That old things have passed away and all things have become new. You know, the first church after I got born again, I started going to regularly. They would teach the old man keeps trying to come back. The old man can't come back. The old man's dead. What they were talking about, their old thinking, they hadn't changed the way they thought. So they're thinking like the old man, but the old man's gone. I'm going to tell you, I got born again. I'm a different guy. I never existed. My spirit never existed past 1980, January 1980, when I got born again. That's as far as God knows and views me as of today. I was born in 1950, so you know how old I am. I was born in 1950, but that guy, when I was 30 years old, that nature was removed. That spirit in me is gone. It left, and I got a new spirit. The Bible says so. I got a new spirit. And that new spirit in me, that old guy that did all that crazy drinking, drugging, and any other nasty stuff. I did all kind of crazy stuff. The reason God don't hold that against me is that guy's dead. He's gone. The Bible says. The old man's dead. But the church, all they want to do is resurrect it. Boy, they want the dead back. That's gone. God don't even know what you're talking about when you're going over to the things like you're that person of the past. You're not that person of the past. The victory of living the Christian life is not living the past. You ain't going to change the past. Good God. It required God to change your past. That's what it took God to do it. What do you people just keep trying to do it for? I don't know. We're not trying to change my past. I'm headed because I'm setting myself a glorious future. And that's what faith is about. Faith is about setting a future to this new man, this new person. That's what faith's about. Faith ain't trying to get, you know, I just want to fix up what I messed up in the past. Well, get over it. You need at least 10 lifetimes to try to do anything like that. Dear God. You ain't going to be here that long. Forget it. Hallelujah. Start living like you're the new person. Start living like, you know, that God ain't looking at you as just an old sinner and he put blood on you so he don't have to look at you, you old scumbag. I mean, he likes looking at you. His blood didn't cover us. His blood removed the nature of sin. Hallelujah. The Bible says he took his blood into the holies of heaven and he made an eternal redemption. Hallelujah. It ain't a covered up and then, yeah, we get to heaven. What, are we going to be walking around with blood all over us because he still can't look at us? Hallelujah. See, we got a lot of crazy theology out here. And it minimizes the glory of the church. And this last day, the Bible talks about Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. He ain't coming back with people that are trying to keep, I'm trying to keep the old man dead. I'm going to tell you what, the old Bible tells us that that old guy's dead. You know, did you ever, you know, go visit a morgue somewhere. Or go, you know, to, you know, down here to a funeral home and see where they're, do they have any trouble with the dead trying to get up and run off anywhere or anything like that? No, they don't, no. And I want to tell you what, the old dead man, he ain't even around. He ain't even in a morgue. The Bible says he's as far as the east is from the west. Well, there, you just keep traveling east, you always end up east. You travel west, you go west. In other words, you can't find it, but the church thinks they did. They think they found it. They think the old guy's still here. No, he's not. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You're born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says you're the righteousness of God. If you still have the old nature, you're not righteous. The Bible says you're righteous. Glory to God. And if it says you're righteous, that's a settled fact. You should never be calling yourself any other thing than that. We're the righteousness of God. The reason I don't like to sin is because I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not trying to become the righteousness of God. I have been declared by Jesus Christ through faith in Him that I've been made righteous. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now you see, those kinds of things, if you get revelation of those, you'll get a running spell on. I'm going to tell you what, you'll get excited. Hallelujah. You start seeing you like God views you. You know God likes you. And no matter what you say about it, He likes you. He didn't mind removing your sin, that nature, as far as from the east and the west. He didn't mind. He didn't sit down and say, man, I didn't want to do it to this guy. Look at him. Well, my God, I said I would. He was excited to do it. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus looked with joy to the cross. My Lord, He looked with joy to take your sin nature and my sin nature on Himself and Him carry the judgment for my sin nature. He looked at it with joy. He was glad to do it for me. He was glad to do it for you. Hallelujah. Well, where were the dead and the old man's trying to come back? Well, then Jesus didn't do a very good salvation, did he? He can't keep the dead man down. He's not as tough as he said he was. He's not as big a God as he said he was, if that's true. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, the old man's gone. All things have become new. All things are of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll get around to reading these verses yet. Glory to God. But he said, whoever says this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. This is this Jesus, this one that saved you, this one that made you righteous. Hallelujah. He says this, he's removed, cast in the sea. You don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things, this person believes the things he says will be done. He must believe the things he says will be done. There's no such thing as faith without speech. There's no such thing as faith without speech. You need to understand this. You can believe without speech, but you can't operate in faith without speech. There has to always be, if there's no speech to it, it is not faith. It's only believing. Believing is not enough. Jesus didn't say here, well, if you believe that mountain will move, you believe it. He said, no, you got to talk to it. You got to say it. That's why you and I got born again. We believed in our heart and made words with our mouth. Without the words of the mouth. See, the power. Jesus, God created this earth by words spoken. The creativity that God put in man and making man like He is our speech brings things to pass. Jesus operated as a man in the earth. The disciples came along. They're out in a boat. A storm's going on. Water's washing in the boat. Jesus, they're all excited. They're all worried. They wake Jesus up because he's sleeping. And they say, "Lord, we're all going to die." And you know what Jesus said to them? "Oh, you of little faith." They thought they were in some great dilemma. You know what? Jesus expected them to speak to that storm. He didn't expect that he had to speak to that storm. He had taught these boys that if you can move a mountain. He told them another time, you can say to that bush over there, that tree, be plucked up and cast in the sea and it'll obey you. And what happens? They get out in the middle of a storm and what do? "God, do something, help us!" And he gets up and says, "Oh, you have little faith." He expected those guys. Now, this is what the shame of it is. And I got embarrassed when I first got this revelation. He was talking to unsaved men. And he said, those guys weren't born again. Jesus hadn't died on the cross and been raised from the dead. They still have the nature of sin, and he expected them to talk to the mountain. They expected them to say something to the storm and tell it to stop. Why? Because that is for whoever. If you're a human being on the earth, you know, that's why people do evil and get worse and worse. They keep talking evil. They keep saying evil. They keep thinking it in their minds. They speak it out. They get it into their heart. And then they go perform the evil. And they bring evil to pass. We're seeing in our nation a great divide between darkness and light. And the darkness is getting darker and the light are getting lighter. And you know why? It's because of speech. The news media cannot get lighter as long as they keep talking darkness all the time. It's an impossibility. They'll keep bringing more darkness and more darkness and more darkness, talking darkness. Talking darkness and talking darkness and talking darkness. So there's no way. Our mouth determines, and we need to understand this. This is why we have to get our mouths in line with God. Now listen, after he tells them this, now he said, this person that does this, he believes this in her heart, they say it. He said, it will be done. He will what? Have whatever he says. What's he going to have? What he believes? Now this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus. Jesus said, the individual is going to have what they say. I'll tell you, see, we need a revelation. You know, there was a greater revelation back in the 80s concerning anything. It's been lost. Most of the church only has information. They can quote the scriptures, but they don't have revelation. Or let me tell you, our speech would be different. We need to get extreme. We need to go back to the days. And I want to tell you, we're going to have to dig the wells of the past and begin to do it. You know, back in the 80s, we had the confession police. Yeah, that's right. Man, you'd hear somebody say something that wasn't right. Man, somebody'd jump on them and tell them. We need to bring the confession police back. Christians need to be told, knock it off. Quit talking the junk you're talking. Quit talking this stuff. Quit talking all your sickness and disease stuff and all your stuff about all the bad and all that. Knock it off. Begin to speak right about you. Say what the Bible says. You know, God told Israel that they'd do and obey what he said. He said he'd bless their bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of them. You know why he couldn't and wasn't able to do it? Because they wouldn't shut up. If you read and follow Israel in the desert, all they ever did was say the wrong thing. "Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish, oh, we're all going to die out here. We're all going to die." They never shut their mouth. And you know what? When the judgment was called on them for the 40-year walk in the desert, God told them why. "I'm going to give you what you said. You're going to die out here. I'm giving you." But he said, "You know what? I'm not going to give your children what you talked. I'm going to take them in the land. But you adults have been sitting around talking your junk. You ain't going." He said, "I'm going to give you what you've been saying. You said you're going to die out here. Well, you're going to have all your words." Thank you, Lord, for not giving me my word sometimes. Oh, my word. Thank you, Jesus. Having mercy on me. Oh, you might as well laugh. You have the same problem too. Hallelujah. Well, so this is said in prayer. Now listen to this. He says then, verse 24, he says, therefore. Now listen to this. He says, therefore, and what's the word therefore there? It joins, there's a conjunction that joins this sentence. In other words, because of the principle I just stated in the 23rd verse, because of what I just got done telling you, he's going to say to them, now, what do we do? I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray. Now, the word ask there is interesting because the King James translates it desire. That there can be translated desire. Also, it can be translated require. It can mean desire, ask, or require. Whatever you desire or whatever you ask or you require, it doesn't say whatever God wants. This is the failure of most people in prayer. They're always trying to ask what God wants, and they ain't got a clue what God wants. Jesus didn't say your prayers are based on what God wants. He said, what do you want? What do you desire? Now, Randall Greer had told us a really good story, and I've told you before about it. He went to the Lord. He was supposedly believing God for an airplane, but he went and kept asking God about the airplane, what kind of airplane he needed and what he wanted and all this stuff. He went through this whole thing with God, and he went on for about a year of this stuff. And finally, one day, the Lord said to him, what are you doing? He said, why do you keep talking to me about this airplane? He said, I don't need an airplane. God told him, I don't need an airplane. I don't fly airplanes. Hallelujah. He said, you need an airplane. He said, quit asking me what kind of plane you need and what you need in it. He said, you decide what you need in it. Whatever you can believe for, you can have. He said, the plane's for you. It's not for me. But you're going to be able to have, now understand this. You're only going to get what you can believe for. You know, if you can, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, start to use your faith in a place you can believe for. Start to use your faith, you know. There's some people, you know, they're trying to use faith for things that they can't reach out to. They can't, with their faith, reach out to certain things. You know, some people, like, you know, a car, you know. If you can believe God for a used car, well, then believe Him for a used car. Get the used car. It's better than walking down not having a car. Get the used car. You know, if you can believe Him for a new one, well, then believe Him for a new one. If your faith will reach out and take that. But I want to show you how you take it. Now, number one, we know this. You're going to have to use your voice. There's no such thing as silent prayer. Because the principle of faith isn't silent. There's no such thing as silent prayer. Faith is based on talking. Thinking prayer produces nothing. We produce through our voice. Jesus, God didn't think the world into existence. He spoke it. If He had to speak it, so will you. Don't get nervous. Somebody might hear you pray, huh? So, man, I don't care who hears me pray. If I'm stepping out to pray in faith and I know I'm going to get what I pray for, I don't care if you think I'm an idiot or not. I'm getting what I say. You can worry about whatever you want. Hallelujah. I ain't staying silent because of what other people think. Who cares? If other people want to do without, then you do without. But I ain't going to do without. I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, I can see creation. God saying, oh, I hate to say this in front of all these angels. They might think I'm weird, you know. I don't think He was doing that, was He? Hallelujah. Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask or whatever you desire or whatever you require, when you pray, so do this. When you pray, what are you supposed to do? Believe that you receive them. What's our job? We're supposed to believe we receive them. It is, you will never have the last part, which says, and you will have them till you believe you receive them. At the time that you pray, and here's dealing with the areas of faith of what you say. This is why prayers are not answered for people, because most of the time they're not prayed by faith. They're going to believe they have it when they see it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the prayer of faith, a prayer that's prayed in faith, believes it received whatever it desired or asked or required. It believes it, receives it at the time that was prayed. Yeah, I remember I first learned this principle. So I understood when I remember that revelation came to me of that and came over to the areas of healing. I knew what I needed to do. The prayer of faith isn't, oh God, help me, and oh God, please heal me, and oh God. No, you're supposed to believe you receive. The prayer of faith would say, Lord, I believe I receive healing right now in the name of Jesus. And I just want to thank you for healing me. See, that's acting in faith. I am confessing that I have received it. That's what the prayer of faith is. I believe I receive it. I believe I have. And I want to thank you that it belongs to me. And now that since I have done that, that's my part. My part ain't to bring it to pass. This is what people do. They've used misused confession to try to get used confession to try to, if I just confess it enough, then maybe it'll come to me and this and all that. And all that's unbelief. The only reason we confess, make a confession, should be a confession to maintain our faith, to keep our faith turned on, but not to get God to do something. Confession is not so we can get God to do something He didn't want to do. Praying a lot isn't about trying. If God don't want to do something for Him, I don't care. You confess till you die, and it ain't going to be done. If He don't want to do it, just forget it. If His Word tells you different than what you want, well, good luck. You know, you can scream and cry and beg and moan and do whatever what you want, but that ain't going to bring it to pass. God's not moved. God is moved by His Word. And when you and I stand fast in His Word and we operate it, the prayer of faith is believing you receive what you ask for at the time. Lord, I'm asking you for healing. So this is what I'm going to do, Lord, right now at this time. I believe I receive it. I want to thank. Now, if I believe I receive something, shouldn't I be thankful for it? Yeah. You see, most people, you know, when they say thank you to God after it shows up, that's why it takes us so long for anything to show up, because people are never operating in line with the Word. Now, I've had this happen where people came to me where certain things took place that they knew I was believing for, and it took place. They said, you didn't seem so excited after it happened. My words, my excitement was when I received it. I knew it belonged to me the whole time. I was thanking God before that thing ever showed up. It belonged to me. It was mine. Faith got the shout before the thing shows up. If you haven't got the shout, you didn't enter rest. See, the children of Israel, they came up to the land. They didn't go in. They believed a wrong report. Was there a shout or a thanksgiving? No. When the spies came out of the land, and Caleb said, man, those guys are bread to us. Let's get in there and take that place. And they all wanted to stone him. And that's what's going to happen. You walk by faith, and religious people want to stone you. They want to, oh, he has a weird doctrine. That's a strange thing. My God, what's that weirdo doing there? He's telling that crazy stuff. Why, he's one of those name it and claim it. Yes, I am. Thank you. I'll wear a badge. Maybe I ought to get one made. Wear that thing. I'm a name it and claim it. That's the way faith prays. It claims it at the time that it's that you pray. It belongs to me. That one's mine. And I encourage you in this. Don't always pray so quick about things. Make sure you're ready to operate in faith. Most people, what they do is they don't ever walk and live in faith. An emergency comes up and they want a quick fix. And they ain't ready for it at all. They're not ready. They have a walk of faith. You know, Wanda and I's walk for faith, when she had to have her open heart surgery, we had been walking in faith for years. We knew and had used the principle of where two agree is by touching anything they ask. We had done that one for years. And when we come up, we just sat down and decided what we were going to about this operation, what was going to play. We decided her outcome of operation, that stuff. She wasn't going to take a bunch of pain medication and all those kinds of things, how things were going to go. And everything came out exactly like we believed. Exactly like we believed. Why? Because we believed it and said it. We believed we received that before she ever went into surgery. We believed that we thought something was going to miraculous going to happen, and we believed we received it before it happened. I wasn't waiting for the thing to be over, and then we're going to see how it turned out. I tell people this all the time, if like going into hospitals, you go to the hospital. If you're believing in a direction, you don't even get moved. No matter what the doctor, if you're going to have an operation, you don't even get moved to what the doctor says after the operation's over, good or bad. If you were in faith for a certain result, you stand till you get that result. You don't say, well, it just don't seem like it's working. I don't know why. I see people do that right away. They start doing it. No, you don't change. You don't get moved. The only things that's going to move me is the words that I said. I don't care what anybody else said in the subject. Me and Jesus are going to get in agreement, and I'm going to have what I say. Jesus said, where two agree is touching anything they ask. He said, I'm there in the midst of it. Now, you tell me, I get in agreement and Jesus is in it and it ain't going to turn out all right? Oh, my God, it has to turn out. That means Jesus is some kind of sluggard in praying or something. I don't know. But he's not. We have a guarantee. Jesus is in the midst. The church has the most powerful prayer that's ever been recorded in scriptural history. When Jesus said, as two agree as to touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them. He said anything. Anything. And he said, if two of them agree, he said, I'm in the midst of it. You don't need a 1,000-member prayer chain to get your answer from God. What you need to do, get to somebody, one person you know believes God, because I'll guarantee you, if you have a 1,000-member prayer team, I'll guarantee you the majority of them couldn't pray nothing to get it done. All they is, God, I'll tell you, I've run into things a prayer team. If I don't know what a person believes, I don't want them praying for me. They're over there believe God made me sick for a reason, well, and I'm going to call them and ask them to pray for them. You've heard me tell this story before. Years ago, when I first got born again, I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And I was one of those crazy charismatics. You know, I got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I started talking in tongues. So therefore, most of the rest of Christians that I was around, that I worked with in the plant, they were all what people called fundamental Christians. They fundamentally don't believe the Bible. And those folks would come around and give me a hard time all the time about, and make fun of me. They'd really literally make fun of me about being a tongue talker. So one day I went to the lunchroom to have lunch, and I was group leader department, so when everybody else was taken care of and done, then I would go out to eat. So if I went to the lunchroom, it's usually later than a regular lunch times, and I would usually be by myself. Well, some of these wonders, in fact, there was about 5 or 6 of them, came out together, and they saw where I was sitting. They all come over and sat at the table where I was sitting and began to laugh about the things of healing and all that kind of stuff and make statements to me about things and saying stuff. And I sat there. See, and this is one thing, you know, God will give you wisdom, and a wisdom came to me. So I just stopped and said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you guys don't pray for the sick in your church? You don't pray for it? Nobody gives prayer requests? Well, it got silent. Then it was like, well, yeah. Well, I said, why would you do that? Well, we're praying for people. I said, you're praying for people. What do you believe God's going to do? Well, we don't know. I said, the Bible says whatever isn't of faith is sin. I said, your church is full of sin because you pray and you don't believe God's going to do things. You're just blowing wind. That's a sin. It's a sin to not do it in faith. It's a sin to pray and not believe God's going to do what you ask him to do. It's a sin. They don't teach that in church world today. They don't teach it. Keep trying to make everybody happy. But this unbelieving stuff, God didn't say it to try because he's mad at anybody. God is saying these things because God wants people to get their prayers answered. That's what he wants. And the church world's trying to figure out how we can make ourselves feel good and not get our prayers answered. It's a real insanity out there, folks. Folks, as a minister, if you'd know some of the stuff that I run into out here, you just would not believe it, I'll tell you. There's a lot of craziness going on here. It's insanity, and you sit down and wonder, do people ever read the Bible, or do they ever see what it says? God is so interested in blessing you. Jesus laid out the principle that every one of your prayers can be answered. Think about that. He laid out the principle. Concerning Mark 11:23, the Lord spoke to me and said to me one day, gave me a revelation. He said, did you notice Jesus? He talked to me about 11:23. He said, you know that Jesus never prayed about animate objects? He spoke to the weather. He spoke to trees. He always spoke to physical things. He said he didn't pray to them. He said he used the principle of Mark 11:23. He told me this. Don't pray about that stuff. You talk to it, it'll obey you. That's what he told me. He said, you talk to it, it'll obey you. See, we need to get over to the Bible. See, everybody today wants things prayed. There's things you don't need to pray about. You need to talk to it. Talk to stuff. When I came into the kingdom, us, you know, young, charismatic, and we were probably crazymatics pretty much. I mean, we talked to everything. We'd anoint anything. But I wanted you to understand this. We had 100 times more miracles going on in church today. Because the church got educated. And we're so smart. And we know scriptures. But folks, there's a faithlessness. We're afraid to use what is called extreme, but it's not extreme, is to speak things of faith, is to stand up and say, God will heal me. If I believed I received it, then I will have it. Oh, well, you don't want to say that. People think, what if it don't work? Because I tell you, the first thing you do that, the devil will say, what if it don't work? You'll look bad. The devil sure knows how to talk. And don't worry, he'll even send some Christians to say it to you. To tell you God won't, don't want to do it. Man, I'll tell you, the devil will hassle you, but you have a decision. Years ago, I had a heart attack. People say, well, maybe it wasn't a heart attack. It is a heart attack. You know, they talk about the symptoms of a heart attack. I'm going to tell you what. I one of them. I was walking along. In fact, what I was doing, I was heading to our mailboxes to go get mail. And man, my chest just felt like it blew up. And I went down. I was breathing very hard, sweating. Oh man, just profuse sweating. They talk about, you know, your pain in your shoulders and arms and you name it. I was having it all. Nauseated, all this stuff's going on. And I was there and all this thing's going on. And all of a sudden inside, see, in my spirit over time, I put the word of God on the inside. There's one thing about it. Whatever's in you is what's going to come out of you when trouble comes. And if you haven't put nothing in you, it's like a tube of toothpaste. If it's empty, you can squeeze it all you want. Ain't nothing coming out. If you put wrong things in you, those wrong things will come out. You always watch people under pressure. You can see how it people are. You see the people that go bananas and ballistics when some emergency arises. They're people who have put wrong things in themselves. So when there's trouble come, what comes out of them is what they have been putting in them. They've been talking about, oh, I just worry about this, and I'm just about that. And have all their junk, and then it happens, they're ballistic. And I was down, man, and I'm there, but inside of me, because why? I'm not just some physical human being like everybody else. I'm a born-again child of God. I have the Spirit of God in me, living inside. There's inside me. It rose up. And on the inside, I remember being down there on the ground. I can tell you, I pushed myself up to my hands and knees. But I'm looking at the ground. To me, this is just like it happened yesterday. I was looking at the ground, and I said, Devil, you're not going to kill me. I said, I ain't dying like this. This ain't going to be happening. We ain't going this way. Then the thought started rolling in my mind about, well, you need to go to the doctor. And the only thing I could think about, everybody, this is what the thought came to me. Everybody I knew that I had attacked and went to the doctor, they spend the rest of their life taking 47 medications. And I thought, I ain't going there. Now, I'll tell you personally, I'd rather die than do that. I just got home to be with Jesus than walk around and be Mr. Medication. I don't want to go there. I just don't want to, you know, I ain't against medications, but I'm against 200 of them at a time. I don't want that stuff. Don't give me that. You know, we ain't walking around and they're give you medication and four others to treat the symptoms that they got from the medication you took. And then those get four more you get or five more to try to treat the symptoms of those. And after a while, you're taking all this stuff and you're feeling lousy all the time and you're just doing it. And I remember thinking that while I was there. And I said, I ain't going to the hospital and I ain't dying. I said, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And then I did something absolutely extreme. Now, folks, I'm talking during this time. I ain't looking around to see if anybody hears me that I, you know, I'm saying out loud. I don't know how loud I was. I might have been pretty loud. But see, inside this anger rose up. Because see, I knew this. This is the devil trying. God ain't trying to kill Ed out there. God ain't trying to kill him. Jesus, he's the one. The devil's the thief. He said, I come to give you life. So I did something really extreme. I started getting up off the ground, and I said this because back in those days, I used to do a lot of running. You can tell by my waistline now, I'm not doing that. But I used to do a lot of running. That's, I run to the table good. I just... But anyhow, I said, I'm going to go for a run. Now, who'd ever think of such an insane thing? But I want you to tell you what happened. Every time I used my voice and started using my voice, I started feeling better. I wasn't feeling great, for sure. But I'm going to tell you what, I got where I was breathing okay. That was a good sign. If you breathe okay, you're doing pretty good. But I mean, I'm still in some pain, and my chest is hurting, nausea. But I'm and I got myself up off the ground, and I didn't jump off the ground. I got up off the ground, and I walked back to the house, and I put on my running stuff. And it took a while. I mean, I wasn't feeling good at all. And I went out of the house, and I started to attempt to run. But I mean, it wasn't really running. I'm just first started off. I was walking. And then I got, you know, to a little bit of a jog, and I'm going along. But I want to tell you, there was a voice that kept saying this to me. You're going to die out here. You know you're going to die out here. I said, no, I'll live, and I'm going to live and not die. I ain't dying. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I ain't trying to get healed. I am healed. See, some people keep trying to get healed. If you're trying to get healed, you're not in faith. I wasn't trying to get healed. I believed I'd already received it. I believed it was mine. Or if it wasn't mine, I'd have been crazy to be out there running. I'd have been a stupid, foolish thing for me to get out there and go run, and I hadn't received my healing yet. See, I'd have believed I received it. See, I believed it was mine. I believed I was healed. I wouldn't have been out there running if I didn't believe it. If I'm still waiting to get it, I'd have had to go to the hospital to wait to see if it showed up. So I'm going down the road, and I'm running down Prescott Road. And I'm going to tell you what, my body felt like it was dying. It felt like it's dying. And I'm trying to run. I'm trying to run. And I just kept saying, I'm going to live and not die. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And that voice would say to me, what is your people in your church going to think when they find you dead along the road here, that you died out here? What are they? You preach on healing. What I'm talking is the extreme. If the church wants to see the miraculous, we're going to have to start doing something other than we've been doing. We're going to have to step beyond where we were. I suffered, and I hate, look, I'm not trying to tell how tough I am. I wasn't, it's just something I believed. I knew this. I had a choice. If I would have gave in to that, I don't think I'd be here today. I don't think I'd be here today. You know, I ain't going to let the devil, I'm not interested in letting the devil take me out. I'm not going to do that. And down the road from where we live, there's a crossroads. When I go out and run, that's the first, from my place to there's a mile. And I'll tell you, it was a long drag down to that spot. But as I went along, I felt a little better and a little better. And I just never forget. I don't know why God does certain things like he does, but over the years I've had things like this happen. I hit that mile marker. When I hit that intersection, bang, everything left. Everything stopped instantly. And I took off running. Never had a problem since. Never had a problem since. I've had the doctors check me and everything. My cholesterol's good. Everything's running right. Heart's good. All that stuff. I'll tell you, it wasn't good that day. But when I hit that, I don't know why, but there's this faith stuff, and I'm talking to you about these things today because it was using your mouth. When distress comes, when problems come, when things arise, you need to understand about how faith operates. Faith ain't some hidden thing done over here a little bit, and then you come out here and the problem does, and all we do is discuss the problems and talk about how bad things are and how tough it is and all this. No, in the times that are tough, that's the time that you want to have your voice as clear as ever and be saying the right things. I'll tell you, when trouble's knocking on your door, you should have a note of victory in your voice, not a note of defeat. I always think about with Brother Keith Moore, and he said he was in the hospital and the guy's laying on the bed. He is so weak you can't hear him talk. You have to go over and put your ear down at his mouth to hear what he has to say. And he wanted to say something to Brother Moore, and Keith said he walked over and put his ear down the guy's mouth, and the guy said, "I'm winning." Woo! And he did. The doctors had him dead, but he didn't die and he lived. Hallelujah! His voice was still tied to his inner man. He wasn't talking about the tubes in him. He wasn't talking about all the stuff. I want to tell you, don't go to the hospital and kill your relatives by walking in and talking about, oh my words, it's so terrible. So you look just, oh my words. Did I ever tell you what happened to me? Oh my words, they took my left leg off. My words, they did it. They weren't supposed to do that. It was another guy they were supposed to take the leg off, you know. Oh, go tell your horror stories. I hate to have to go to the hospital most of the time when there's relatives in a room. And especially the Christians. Because they're standing in there talking death and trouble all the time. And they ask you to come and pray. The first thing I want to do is cast the devil out of all of them. Throw them out of the room. If the devil leaves, they have to go with. They love it. You know, they hang on to it. When somebody needs help, we need to start saying the right things. When a person's in distress or having problems, they need somebody coming saying something. They need somebody speaking some words. They need help. They don't need somebody to tell them how bad things are. Dear Lord, they know. They're going through it. We have to learn the power. I tell you, it's a powerful thing to say the right stuff. It's a powerful thing. But see, if you don't have it in you, when the trouble comes, what's going to come out is what you put in you. If you're fear and worried about things, if you're fearful about it, that's what's going to come out of you. Those are the things that start happening. Well, I'm afraid this ain't going to work, and I'm afraid that isn't going to that end. Let's go pray. What are you going to tell God about your fears? Without faith, you can't please Him. Does fear sound like it's faith coming out? I go to God sometimes and say, God, I can surely see how bad things look. They look horrible. But you know what? I ran into your word. And your word says, and I'll quote him a scripture, what it says, and I'll say, God, that's what I'm going to have. You're going to have to do that for me because you said it in your word. That's extreme faith. See, the church knows very little about extreme. If God sent me his word, he has to do it for me. If he's not, he's a liar. Folks, he's a liar. If he said, you know, did anybody ever go by faith to accept Jesus Christ and he turned them down? Could have never happened. It's an impossibility. And see, we need to pick up these principles. They can't be just things that we have mentally and they're nice scriptures and they sound good and they make us happy. You know, let's think happy thoughts. You know, they might put you in a box and bury you in dirt just thinking happy thoughts. What you do is you have to get your voice. You got to get your voice in the right place. And you get your voice saying the right things. I'm going to tell you, your voice will bring rest and peace to you. So you can pray and ask God to give you peace. You can ask God, but if your voice keeps talking the junk, your prayer ain't going to go nowhere. God can't bring rest to a voice that keeps saying the wrong stuff and saying the wrong stuff. I have never met a person in depression who's talking good. I've never met one. They're always talking their depressed thoughts. I've watched people come out of depression just by learning about the faith message, about learning talking and saying the right things, and come out of depression. What we say will either put God to work in our life or it'll put the devil to work in our life. This is a powerful thing. You know, it is the most amazing thing to me that God handed this to humanity. It's phenomenal. To me, it's almost like handing it an atomic bomb. It's like, my God. You know, I can decide I'm going to destroy a lot or I'm going to, you know, not set it off and go build, but it's mine. I could set this thing off for good or for bad. This power is incredible. And see, everybody looks at God and they're talking about God. Just think about Jesus. Jesus was out in a house and some guys came down through and took a guy. Remember the guy they took up in the roof? They tore the roof open and dropped the guy down. He was healed. It says this in the scripture. It says the power of God was present to heal. The God. Now think about this. Nobody in the place was getting healed. Why? Because nobody was operating in faith. And there was four guys and a guy on a stretcher, and they came operating by faith. How would you like somebody to come and tore the roof off of your house to get at the guy, to get him because he wanted him healed? I mean, see, these people are doing something extreme. They have this guy, they believe if they get him to Jesus, he's getting healed. And they ain't letting nothing stopping them from doing that. They don't care about culture and what the neighbor might think. They're not upset and worried about, you know, I'll tell you what, when we go down, the rabbi is going to be talking about this next week. You know, we tore the roof off this guy's house, and now we're going to go down here. And what are my friends going to say? They didn't care. They were after something, and they were going to get it. They got together. There was five people in agreement. And I'll tell you what, a man was on a stretcher and walked. Hallelujah. Or they could have just sat around and said, boy, it was just too crowded. We couldn't get in. We don't want to do anything too extreme. We don't do anything too crazy, you know. We got to get out where we tell you, when we get after God, we don't care what other people think about it. I want it. I'm going to have it. I don't care what they say. They can think that I'm crazy. Let them think that they're crazy. Well, it is too late. I mean, I'm crazy, so... I'm just there. I'll tell you what, I'm out of sense. We don't have that no more. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to close with reading you some scriptures here. And listen to these scriptures. This is what Proverbs 21:23. This is the Bible. Here again is scriptures. The book of Proverbs is considered the book of wisdom. Now, if these are not true, then this isn't a book of wisdom. So they should never call it that. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. For anybody depressed, that's where it's at. You get them to start. They got to what? Their soul's going to be in trouble if they don't guard their mouth. You want a sound mind? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. See, people say, well, I just don't think good. I'm sorry, I think wonderful. I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says so. I don't care how flaky my mind seems to be. I don't care. I will never talk about my flaky mind. My mind is not flaky. I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says so. I want you to understand this. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He's the teacher. The mind of Christ literally lives in you. Literally. Not figuratively. It literally lives in you. To act like it's not there is a sin. Christians are around all the time talking about, yeah, we have the Spirit in us, but they live and act like He's moved out somewhere and He's 50 billion miles away someplace. And they're always trying to contact God out there somewhere. God's living in you, folks. I ain't looking for God out there. God already moved in. He came and moved in. Glory to God. God's living in you. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Did you ever run into somebody that loves death? Talking junk all the time, talking sick all the time, talking junk. They love it. And the Bible says whatever you say, whatever you love, and saying it, that's what you're going to end up with. You can either have life or you can have death. Where is it at? In the power of God, does it say? Well, I thought it was God holding out on me. No, I found out years ago it was my dumb mouth was holding out on me. I wasn't talking right. Here we go. Proverbs 12, verse 13. Start verse 13. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. But the righteous will come through trouble. How? With their lips. How do you get through trouble? Saying the right stuff, speaking the right things. You start talking the right things. I'll tell you, I get run over by the truck. I learned a long time ago. You get up and say, man, I ain't staying down. Man, I'm going through this thing. I don't care what's going on. And begin to speak, saying the right stuff. Now, this is the Bible. Is it true or not? Is it true or not? Well, we decide that. A man will be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand will be rendered to him. How am I going to be satisfied? By my mouth. My mouth. Get in your mouth the right direction. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Sickness and disease in America is because of the speech of people in America. We just talk trouble and problem and just talk. I mean, we're killing ourselves with our mouth, blaming everybody else and everything. We think there is not a health program that's good enough to keep a person alive who keeps talking wrong. There's no insurance that can cover your mouth. You got to take care of that one. Saying the right things. Listen, this is Jesus. Listen what Jesus said. In Matthew 12, verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Well, how does he do that? We're talking about speak, what he speaks. A good man, what does he do? Out of the treasure of his heart. So how does faith operate? A guy believes in his heart, says with his mouth. If you got good on the inside of you, what is it? It brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. What do you treasure? Do you like sitting around talking about bad stuff? Do you like sitting around talking about your problems or your fears? You like sitting around gossiping with the people and they talk about, oh, how bad, I'm having trouble. Just get right in their thing with them. See, what you treasure is what's going to come out of you. That's what's going to produce. There again, Jesus said it. Now, I'm sticking with Jesus. I don't know where you guys are going to go on that or not, but I'm just sticking with Jesus on the thing. I am sticking with it. Hallelujah. But see, we need to learn to talk and say right. And I wanted you to get this today, in dealing in the areas of health, especially in your health, is learn. You've got to learn to do this. Most people, this is what happens. Most people don't pray and ask God about certain things in their life till something goes wrong. Most people don't ever say, you know, when they're feeling good, they don't ever say anything about their health. They wait till they get sick, and then they'll start to want to pray. They'll want to do something, and really, that's not what God ever had planned. That's man's idea. What they ignore things, but see, we can set the. We found out in Proverbs tells me that our mouth can promote health to us. Well, if it can promote health, then I don't have to wait till I get sick to have health working in me. See, you don't want to work behind the eight ball all the time. You know, people are always doing it behind. They wait till something happens. And this is what happens. As a minister, I've watched this over the years. When people really don't do anything about certain things and then they have a real problem, what they have is they're trying to get this problem solved and they want prayer to solve the problem, but they are not in a position of faith to do it because they haven't been walking by faith. They haven't been walking in faith, but now they want it fixed now. You know, I got this problem. And what happens? Things don't get fixed. They don't get fixed. Because why? It usually takes the person a long time till they get in faith. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, who was raised up as a 16-year-old boy off a deathbed, said the number one thing that he did in his entire Christian walk, he always meditated on scriptures dealing with health and healing. He always did that. See, your health means so. Your health can make, lack of it can make you poor. Many people are poor. That's why you get like they say, you know, that elderly people, you know, they don't get enough money and they need. You can't give them enough money. Their health's terrible. The more money they get, they'll keep spending it on their health and on their health. Listen to what they talk and say. Dear God, you know, my words. Well, when you get old, you know, you're just going to get sick. You know how many times I hear, you know, well, you get older, you know, and your health goes. And you listen to them. These are born-again Christians. The Bible talks about when you get your silver hair, that's supposed to be one of the best times of your life. That's supposed to be the time of blessing. My parents got old and lived good. Was it just for them? They weren't even Spirit-filled and did better than the Spirit-filled people do. But at least they didn't believe that God was trying to kill them. And you're just going to get old. But see, they've been talking, see, all these times. I remember years ago, person's no longer, you know, with us, left the earth. But he used to always say to me, wait till you get to be my age. Good Lord, they had about 5 or 6 years on me. That was it. And I hit all of the years that they said, I will wait till these years come. And when I hit those years, I didn't have their problems. And then they set another goal. Well, wait till you get to be this old. And I got there and they stopped. But they kept having more and more problems. And then turned around and died quick. Why? Because he wouldn't shut up. Now, you might not seem that polite. We need rattled today. You know, Donald Trump would make a good preacher. He wouldn't make all these Christians feel so darn comfortable. Maybe God will anoint him for that. I'll tell you, we could sure use it. I'll tell you, we need a bull in the china closet in Christianity. We need some bulls in the china closet. Why? Not trying to hurt people, to wake people up. People need a waking out here. Man, they run into the end of life. They have been planning for 30 years to have a bad retirement. They've been, you don't know how many times I've had Christians come and say to me, oh, when you're young, travel and do stuff because you can't do it when you're old. That's sad because I run around travel all the time and run into old people traveling. And they're sinners. The sinners are doing better than the saints. The sinners are out traveling and the saints are at home grumping. Dear Lord, what are we doing? But see, they planned. They planned all their life as things weren't going to work good. Things are not. I'm going to get older. So see, I won't be able to do this and I won't be able to do that. Our daughter, listen, the first home they got it from a couple. These people weren't Christians. But they were old and they would just travel all the time. They were retired. They had some money. And they gave them a, they almost gave them a house for nothing. Just they said they just wanted to bless them. Now, see, these were sinners. Wanted to bless them. gave them a house. But those people traveled and traveled and traveled. I mean, they were old. And I would sit and listen to Christians, and here they are out, man. They're out enjoying life. They ain't acting like they're going to just up and croak and die. And they're out traveling all over the place. They're in their 80s and doing more than a lot of people do in their 60s. But if you listen to them talk, you could tell why. They weren't talking the junk. They weren't planning on a bad life as they got old. They saw their retirement as the fact came at, now we can go do more. Because they traveled a lot before they retired. Now we just do more of it. They didn't say, well, we're going to do all this traveling now because we get old, we can't. If you've said those things, now let me say this to you. You can talk things for so long, we'll talk about this later, but you can do it so long that you cannot turn it around. You can set spiritual laws into motion that cannot be changed. Don't you ever believe these ministers that say, well, you can always just turn things around. That's not true. There's people that couldn't change things around because they set laws in motion. We'll talk about it. Kenneth Hagin set a law in motion he couldn't turn around. He tried to before he left, but he couldn't turn it around because of all the years he set it. And that thing was set in motion. And you just can't quickly turn some stuff. You ain't going to turn around. You ain't going to get it changed. That's why, while you're breathing right now, start setting things in the right direction. Start talking the right things. Start saying the right things while you have time. Do it now. Most people, as they get older, become unteachable. That's a known fact. I ain't saying that to make a negative confession. You're going to have to significantly, as you age, make yourself learn. Because what's going to happen? We live in a society. You retire, go sit back and relax and let everybody else carry the burden. Can't do that. Christianity, you're going to have to stay sharp as long as you want to breathe. You can't do that. You don't retire from Christianity. You don't retire from this thing. This is a thing that we're walking till we go home to be with Jesus. And I want to be walking it good when I see him face to face. I don't want to say, well, we just went and retired and sat down. And you know how bad it is, Jesus, when you're retired. You just get sick all the time. And you know how it is, Jesus. I don't know if he carries a little rod and snaps people on the head when they get there and say, wake up, space cadet. Say, we have classes for you. They'll read the Bible to you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. I know I preached hard. We say things sometimes, shake people up. But my whole intent is to shake. I want us all shaken up. I need shaken up. Hallelujah. You know, I've looked over things. There's things that, you know, I walked in a much bolder way years ago than I do now. And that's going to have to change. That's going to have to change. And we need to do that. We need to walk by faith. We want to see the miraculous power of God. I don't want to see it because God is doing it for me from a mercy standpoint. I want to know how to bring it to pass. See, there's always people in the earth that it can operate through or work through because they're the ones that allow God to do it. There's always the need of people in the earth. You know, many people see the demonstrations of the Spirit of God. They had nothing to do with it coming into manifestation. There's people who brought it into manifestation. Over the years, I know that God has healed and delivered people because I sought him and stood in his face on behalf of them. They don't, in fact, there's some of them, the Lord told me never even say anything. I've never even said anything about it. Wanda had two cousins. The doctors told them they were going to miscarry their children. In fact, the weekend that they were supposed to, both of them were supposed to, they were going in the hospital. Their things were bad and they had taken them in the hospital, supposed to lose their kids. The Lord told me, he said, I want you to go pray for them. And I spent the afternoon in prayer. I spent the afternoon before God about these ones and talking about them. And I just spent time praying. I was praying long, and the Holy Spirit said to me, it spoke to me and said, don't worry about it. He said, you go tell your wife. And I went and told one. He said, your cousins will carry their child out full term. They won't lose them. And I went down and told Wanda what the Lord told me. And they're married, they have kids, and their kids, the ones that were supposed to be dead, are married today and have kids. You know, they got themselves a miracle, but they didn't get some that miracle from their faith. It wasn't from their faith. They had no faith in that area to do it. See, somebody's got to know how to hook up with God. Somebody's got to learn to do it. Somebody's got to learn what to do. I ain't blowing my horn. Thank God there was people. I'm sure that I ain't around where I was today. There was people because of them walking by faith. Walking in the faith that they did kept me. But I want to tell you what, there's only a small percentage of the church that's keeping things running. Everybody else is along as well. I'm just a pretty nice Christian. I'm not interested in being a pretty nice Christian. I want to know how to hook up with God. I want to know how to bring the miraculous to pass. I want to be, you know, something that the power of God can flow through. I don't want to be a dam in the river. Hallelujah. I want to be at the place where God can flow through, and that's what we want. See, God wants you well today. Being well is important. If you want to follow God, you want to be well. You know, if you're laid up sick, you can't do the will of God. The devil keeps good Christians, good people that they don't know and they don't understand. He keeps them sick, eats up their money. They can't enjoy their families. They can't enjoy life and the things around them. They can't be the blessing. They have a longing within them to, you know, bless or to do things. But they can't do them because of their health. And then people believe that it's God's involved in this thing. His involvement in it is that he wants them well. That's the involvement he wants in them for that, is them to be well and whole. That's what he wants them to be. That's his desire. And I just want to say to you this morning, I'll tell you what, begin to be a person concerning yourself. Other people praying for you is fine. We can pray for one another. But I just encourage you to start to get the right voice concerning your health. To start to get the right voice, to start saying the right things about yourself. You know, it's just like saying, we don't say, you know, the right things. Like a lot, I just can't this and I can't that. Well, that's why we can't, because we just keep saying we can't. I can't. I can't do this, or I can't do that, or this, or that. And start talking about saying the right things. Speak the right things concerning your mind and your thoughts. Doesn't matter if throng thoughts are coming against you. You begin to speak the right thing. One of the most powerful things that you can ever do to get your mind under control is saying the right stuff. When your mind's thinking right thoughts, if you try to bring it under control through other thoughts, it'll never work. You bring it into control by taking voice. Do you know when you're sitting and listening to somebody talk, it's very hard to think just a bunch of other stuff if you're really listening? When you take the time to use your own voice, it's very hard to think other thoughts when you're going all through the things and doing the talking. It's powerful. Faith comes by hearing. If you're speaking the right stuff, you're promoting your own faith. Faith comes by hearing. Your mind's going crazy. Say, no, my mind, I have the mind of Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you, that'll soothe you a little bit instead of saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going crazy. Maybe I need a pill. I don't know. Just this. You do that. But I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll bring no comfort to you. There'll be no comfort. Start saying the right thing. Start speaking the right thing. Start saying, bring yourself some comfort. You know. I don't know, I take this medicine and it just don't do me no good. It just doesn't, well, I'll tell you what, no wonder don't. Do you know it's a proven fact? They've done studies. And doctors, they've done studies with this, and they prove that people who spoke right concerning their medical treatment always heal better than people who talk the opposite about. Always. I often ask people, they complain to the doctor, I say, well, what on earth are you going for? What a waste of time. What a stupid thing. You go and then talk negative. I thought you were going for help. Just, you know, don't shoot your own self in the foot and blame other people. And I'll tell you, using your mouth wrong, it's almost like that in some ways. It's almost like shooting yourself in the foot. Hallelujah. Use your mouth to bless you. Use your mouth to help you. Hallelujah. And especially in the area of your health, begin to speak concerning your health. Begin to speak. Don't wait. You know, you say, well, when do I do it? Well, do it in the shower or something. Talk. Go in the shower. Talk about how your body's healthy and strong and how it works right, how your body's running right. Yeah, but I got all these problems. Well, go ahead. Talk your problems. You'll have them when you get out of the shower and you never tell them yourself. Or you sit there and talk right. Talk right to your body that your body works right. James said this. The Apostle James wrote and said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. James said that. If you can control your tongue, you control your whole body. Woo! So, folks, we've missed it some, haven't we? We've let things get out of control a little bit. Well, we could turn around, sit and whine and cry about it. Say, oh, I just keep getting it wrong. You just don't know. I just can't do it. Or we can step up and say, yeah, well, I'm not an idiot. I'm smart. Hallelujah. I can believe what the Bible says. The word ain't hard to understand. It's not hard. It's not crazy. Jesus didn't make faith some hard thing. All he said, you had to believe what he said, and then you say it. Well, that was a tough one, wasn't it? You believe what he said, then you say it. Man, was that tough or what? Hallelujah. It's an easy thing to do, and we can do it. Father, I just want to thank you today, Father, for revelation that comes forth in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that these ones, Lord God, are hearing, they heard the word this morning, and I want to thank you. Faith came to them. Faith came to them today in the name of Jesus, because faith comes by hearing. And I want to thank you that they're mixing it together, hallelujah, with the words that they heard. I thank you it's being mixed together. And Father God, to produce in them, Lord God, actions, Lord God, to confess, Father God, what your word says over them in the name of Jesus. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you, Father God, that you're working mightily in them. These truths that we have here, Father God, they're going to dawn upon them in the name of Jesus. And Father God, they're going to be an intricate part of their lives. Father, I thank you. Things and situations are going to totally change. Head in directions, Lord God, Father. I thank you that even others will be astounded, Father God. But Father, I thank you that they're going to be a testimony and they will be a witness of the truth of the Word of God by practicing it. And Father, ones will see, hallelujah, and others will grab a hold and say, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord, that changed you around, Lord God? And I thank you they'll have the message of faith to preach to people, to turn people's lives. Hallelujah. Father God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, you set each one of us on this path. And this path, Lord God, was just established by faith in the name of Jesus. And Father, just as it was so easy to come and accept Jesus Christ, to believe on him and confess him as Lord, Father, I thank you that our faith walk will just be the same, Father God, as we walk along. Father, as your revelation of your word comes to us, we're going to take it and put it upon our lips, Lord God, and speak those things and bring them to pass. Hallelujah. Father God, so Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified, and people will see that there's a real and living God, and a God who still is a God of miracles, and a God who demonstrates himself gloriously among his people. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just say this after me. I have the mind of Christ. My mind thinks good. I don't have any trouble thinking. Worries far from me. I'm not afraid. Because God hasn't given me the spirit of fear. I have the spirit of love and a sound mind. My mind's sound. My mind is so sound. I think right all the time. When wrong thoughts come, my mind picks it up right away. And I put good thoughts. Thoughts of faith. Thoughts of Jesus. Thoughts of his word. And I speak those words. Because I can control my mind. Through my mouth. And my mouth's full of faith. Ha ha. Glory to God. So you want to do that. Do that for your mind. So you can do the same things with your body. Speak to your body. My body is strong. And my body, you know, the doctor comes along and he might be exactly physically, you might have this certain problem. Well, I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I believe my body is whole. I believe my body is strong. Talk to your body. Especially, I do this when you're feeling good. Talk about your body being well. Speak words that bring health to your body. Don't talk against them. Even studies, they found out when people talk negatively, it affects their immune system. You'll never find somebody who's talking worry and stuff all the time is healthy. They never are. They always got a whole bunch of different kinds of problems going on. See, learn to talk. Speak health to yourself. Speak to your body that your body's strong, that your body's healthy. When anything tries to come to my body, just say, anything tries to come to my body, I tell you what, it quickly leaves in the name of Jesus. I have a strong immune system. You know, understand this. God gave you an immune system. There's some things that your own body can fight off. If it's working right, you don't have to sit and try to believe to get healed. Your body will take care of it quickly if you turn around and learn to keep your immune system working right. And one of the things is your voice. You know, you can take all the right stuff and take all the right eat the right food and everything. But if you're saying the wrong stuff and doing the wrong things, you can defeat your immune system. You talk right about your body. Don't run your body down. You know, you can look at your body might not be what you want it to be. Like, you know, you want to look in the mirror, you know, you ladies, and you want to see the little girl in the bikini. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you know, just like me, I look in the mirror anymore, it scares me. I'll tell you, we took the mirror out. No, but you can say, because what happens to people do is we let somebody set an image for us and we begin to talk and we look down and worry about what somebody else thinks about things. We need to learn to start talking about ourselves. If you want improvement, the first thing you need to improve is what you say. If you can't control what you say, you will never carry out any kind of thing that you program. Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start doing this or doing that. And after a while, you'll find yourself quitting. Why? Because your voice ain't in it. Your faith ain't in it to do it. Get your voice into it and begin to speak the right things and start to talk the right things. Start to talk about yourself in the right way. Start to say the right things. That's a powerful thing to do. I've learned that years ago. I never, if I want to make a change of a certain thing in my life, I never just go jump and say, well, this is what I'm going to do, this and there. No, what I'd begin to start to set my voice. I would take a month or so setting my voice in the right direction. And you know what? My voice all of a sudden sets things off on the inside of me when I know I'm ready to make that change. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to move in that direction. You set it with your voice. Your voice is a powerful thing. See, most people are always trying to do stuff, but their voice has never been behind. Their voice has never set in on. Set your voice. Start saying it. I'll tell you what, it gets easier and easier the more you set your voice. This is, I'm going in there. Stay away from that stuff. I tried this before. Well, I can tell you why you tried it before. Your voice was never in it. You were never in it in your heart. You just wanted to do something that might have been a good thing to do. But you'd never established yourself to be ready to do it. Get ready to do it. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, you don't just pray for something right away. Make sure you're ready. Then when you make that confession of faith, that's what you're believing and that's the direction you're going. Make sure you're ready to do it. Then you'll have whatever you say. Glory to God. God wants you to have whatever you say. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody here that you need, you want some agreement on healing or something, anything? Anybody in that category?